markets react to Egypt's sharp turn.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In Egypt, the military is in control and promising new elections. And where is the Egyptian economy on this day after? Reporter Kimberly Adams is in Cairo. Morning, Kimberly.
Good morning.
So I spoke with the managing director of a large Egyptian poultry products company this morning. He said his employees were at work. What are you seeing with smaller businesses in Cairo?
Well, I took a little walk around my neighborhood this morning, and I am seeing some of the smaller businesses opening up that were definitely closed in previous days during the protests. But several of them are still closed, and I'm not sure if that's because people are sleeping off a night of protesting or if they're worried about insecurity. But I can say that the local guy who slaughters chickens for the neighborhood is open and operating.
The Egyptian military has installed an obscure court official as interim president. He's promising early elections. But what's the reaction been on the stock market in Cairo today?
Way up and very, very quickly. It rose so quickly when it opened this morning that they had to temporarily suspend trading. They've since restarted, and the stock market's up more than 7% already. Also, the cost of insuring Egypt's debt has actually gone down.
Credit default swaps coming back down as the political situation becomes clearer. Now, to what extent will foreign aid be a key to trying to mend Egypt's slumping economy?
Well, I mean, let's think about two different types of foreign aid to Egypt. You have the foreign aid about whether or not big businesses are willing to invest in Egypt. And that, of course, depends a lot on stability. And businesses have been very hesitant to invest in Egypt right now because of the ongoing political turmoil since the revolution. But another debate is the military aid to Egypt that comes from the United States. There's a big debate here going on about whether or not what happened yesterday is an actual coup d'etat. And the reason that's important to Americans is because America gives about $1.3 billion of military aid to Egypt every year. And that is dependent on several conditions, one of which is if there is a military coup, that aid is definitely at risk.
And President Obama has studiously avoided calling the change of government a coup d'etat. Reporter Kimberly Adams in Cairo, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
It's the fourth day of a walkout by public transit workers in the San Francisco Bay Area. Salaries, benefits, and safety are crucial issues. The strike has widened a cultural divide between traffic-weary tech workers who drive the local economy and blue-collar transit workers who feel left behind. From the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk, Chrissy Clark reports.
A BART worker's base salary is about $60,000 a year. Sounds pretty good. But it's less than a family of four needs to get by in the pricey Bay Area. And as the local tech industry booms, BART train operator Eddie Turner says people like him should get a boost, too.
We haven't had a raise in 4 years. BART has a surplus. The system works, and we're the people who make it work.
Still, many of the people who depend on that system to get to work don't have much sympathy. Richard White is the CEO of a San Francisco startup called UserVoice.com. He was on a plane somewhere over Arkansas when he emailed me a recording of his feelings about the strike. He says it wasted hours of his staff's time. His suggestion? Replace those disgruntled BART workers with robots.
And then figure out how to automate those trains so this doesn't happen again.
If I had more friends who were BART drivers, I would probably be very sympathetic to their cause.
Sarah Lacey is the founder of a tech news site called Pando Daily.
But people in the tech industry feel like life is a meritocracy and you work really hard and you build something and you create something, which is, you know, sort of directly opposite to union.
She says BART workers and techies just come from different worlds. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. Get Marketplace any way you'd like every day, right here on your local public radio station and on marketplace.org, Slacker, Swell, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iTunes.
You've been hearing about the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. Turns out there are enduring leadership lessons to be learned. In business schools, they like to do something called a DISC analysis, looking at leadership through the lenses of dominance, influence, steadiness, and confidence. What happens when DISC is applied to Gettysburg?
Good morning, David.
So tell me about how you try to weave
together business lessons, Dean of Executive Programs at the University of Maryland Smith School of Business.
We take a look at the leaders that stood out in Gettysburg and some of the decision-making that they came up with during the battle and relate it to today's business world.
Now, you do this in three dimensions. You go to Gettysburg?
We do. We reflect on more about why they made the decisions they did, leadership styles, what kind of information they had.
All right. So one of the things you're talking about, you say, is leadership styles.
Right.
Give me an example. I mean, I'm a little bit biased. I'm from the state of Maine. I'm always interested in the role of Joshua Chamberlain at Little Round Top there at Gettysburg. He's the former president of a Brand X college up in Maine, but also became governor of that state. Was elected many times. But what might we say about his leadership style?
Well, certainly Colonel Chamberlain was one of the great models of leadership throughout the Civil War. And his style was, of course, as some people may or may not know, he did not go through the military academy. He was a professor that volunteered for the Army just because he was so passionate about what was going on.
Yeah, he was first offered a higher rank and said he wanted something lower so that he could, quote, learn the business.
Yeah, so that tells you a little bit about who he was as a person also. Several days before Gettysburg, he had to accept a group of Maine soldiers who were ready to desert and basically called mutineers. And the sergeant that dropped him off told Chamberlain he had the right to shoot them if they didn't follow. Well, of course, Chamberlain didn't lead that way. He tried to build empathy with them. He tried to be inclusive. And I think we look at his style of leadership as trying to understand what his soldiers really needed, be able to connect with them, and not necessarily a domineering style of leadership.
Greg Hanafy at the University of Maryland Smith School of Business. Mr. Hanafy, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And here's a number. The FCC has received 15,850 complaints about TV commercials that are way louder than the rest of the programming, which is against the rules. When will advertisers ever learn? If you want to get attention, all you have to do is whisper. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.